We know there are things we don't know. During a press conference at NATO headquarters in Belgium in June of 2002, then United States Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld described the status of intelligence and information gathering in a post-9/11 world. During that conference, he famously stated, quote, "There are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know, but there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we don't know we don't know." End of quote. In other words, Rumsfeld was saying that we don't have all the information, and we don't know that we don't have all the information. While this now famous statement was directed toward American intelligence gathering for the war on terror, the same can be said of the state of scientific knowledge today. Belief Code 3 acknowledges this, stating that science is a language, only one of many languages that describes us, the universe, our bodies, and how things work. And as successful as science has been in revealing the answers to our deepest mysteries, some of the greatest minds of our time openly suggest that the language of science is incomplete. In a 2002 editorial describing the virtues of the scientific method, the prestigious journal Nature featured an article illustrating this possibility, stating that by its nature, even at its most exact and profound, science is incomplete in its explanations, but self-correcting as it steers itself away from the occasional wrong path. Although the self-correcting of scientific ideas may occur eventually, sometimes it takes hundreds of years to do so, as the argument of whether or not the universe is connected by a field of energy clearly demonstrates. Admittedly, there are huge gaps in our scientific ability to describe why things are the way they are. Using the language of science, for example, physicists believe that they've successfully identified the four fundamental forces of nature and the universe: gravity, electromagnetism, and the strong and weak nuclear forces. While we know enough about these forces to apply them to technology, ranging from microcircuits to space travel, we also know that our understanding of them is still incomplete, and we can say so with certainty because scientists have still not been able to find the elusive key that combines these forces into a single description of how the universe works. We still don't have a unified field theory. Well, it may not be surprising that the science of today doesn't have all the answers. The quantum discoveries of the last century have led to a surprising and radical new way for us to think of ourselves and how the universe works. This new way of thinking is so radical, in fact, that it flies directly in the face of what we believed for nearly 300 years. So rather than building upon the certainty of what science has shown in the past, the new discoveries have forced scientists to rethink their own assumptions of how the universe works. In some ways, they've had to go all the way back to square one. Probably the biggest shift in thinking has been the realization that matter itself, the very stuff that everything is made of, doesn't even exist the way we used to think that it did. Rather than thinking of the universe as being made of things, like atoms, for example, that are separate from one another and have little effect on other things, quantum theories suggest that the universe and our bodies are made of ever-changing fields of energy. These fields interact with one another to create our world in ways that can only be described as possibilities rather than certainties. And sometimes the possibilities are nothing short of miraculous. For example, experiments have proven that quantum energy can exist in two very different forms, as visible particles or invisible waves. The energy is still there either way, just making itself known in different forms. A quantum particle can be in one place only, or two places at once, or even many places at once. The interesting thing, however, is that no matter how far apart they appear to be physically, they act as if they are still connected. And quantum particles can communicate with themselves in the past and in the future. They're not limited by the concepts of past, present, and future. To a quantum particle, then is now, and there is here. These things are important because we're made of the same quantum particles that can behave miraculously when given the right conditions. So the question is this: if quantum particles are not limited by the laws of science, at least as we know those laws today, and we're made of the same particles, then can we do miraculous things as well? In other words, is the behavior that scientists call anomalous showing us scientific limits, or could it really be showing us something else? Could the freedom in time and space that these particles demonstrate actually be showing us the freedom that is possible in our own lives? Following all of the research, documentation, and direct experience of those who have transcended the limits of their own beliefs, without reservation, I believe that the answer is a solid yes. And this leads us to belief code number 4. If the particles that we're made of can be in instantaneous communication with one another, if they can be in two places at once and even change the past through choices made in the present, then we can as well. The only difference between those isolated particles and us is that we're made of a lot of particles that are linked through the mysterious stuff that fills the places we used to think of as empty space. And this is important to us because we are part of the energy that's doing the interacting, and it's our awareness of this fact that changes everything. When we recognize that we're entangled in the dance of energy that bathes creation, that realization changes who we believe we are. It changes what we've always thought the universe is, and it changes how we believe our world works. Perhaps most importantly, it changes our role from passive observers to powerful agents of change, interacting with the stuff that everything is made of. And our view of where that stuff comes from is changing very quickly. It's the recent acknowledgement of our effect upon the quantum building blocks of the universe in mainstream science that has catapulted us into a new and an almost holistic way of seeing ourselves. Clarifying just how fast the way we think of ourselves is changing, Professor John Wheeler of Princeton University says that now we could not even imagine a universe that did not contain us. The reason, he says, is because the acts of what he calls observer participancy, that is, us looking at the world, are creating the very stuff that makes the universe. What a shift! In a radically different interpretation of our traditional relationship to the world around us, Wheeler stating it's impossible for us to simply watch the world happen around us. We can never be observers because the act of us looking is an act of creation unto itself. When we observe, we create and we modify what is created. Sometimes the effect of our observation is nearly undetectable. And, as we'll discover in later chapters, sometimes it's not. Either way, the discoveries of the last century suggest that our act of observing the world is a creative act, and it is consciousness that's doing the creating. And these findings seem to support Wheeler's proposition that we can't think of ourselves merely as onlookers who have no effect in the world that we're observing. When we look at life, our spiritual and material abundance, our relationships, our careers, our deepest loves and our greatest achievements, as well as our fears and the lack of all these things, we may also be looking squarely at the mirror of our truest and sometimes most unconscious beliefs. Architects of life. Through our beliefs, we're the bridge between all that we could ever imagine and reality. It's the power of what we truly believe about ourselves that gives life to our highest aspirations and our greatest dreams, the things that make the universe as it is. To acknowledge that we play such a powerful role in how our everyday reality turns out is to acknowledge that we are somehow interacting with nothing less than the essence of creation itself. Belief Code 5 summarizes this powerful relationship, stating that our beliefs have the power to change the flow of events in the universe, literally to interrupt and redirect time, matter, and space, and the events that occur within that time and space. So when we choose to embark upon a new career path or a new relationship, to heal a disease that threatens life, we're really rewriting the code of reality. If we think about all of the implications from all of the decisions that we make in each moment of every day, it becomes clear how our seemingly little choices can have effects that reach far beyond our personal lives. In a universe where each experience is built upon the outcome of previous experiences, it's obvious that everyone is necessary. There are no wasted choices, because every experience and every choice is required. Each one must be precisely where it is before the other experiences can follow, because each choice sets into motion a ripple current that will affect not only our lives, but also the world beyond. So think of all the things that had to happen from a time before you were even born for you to be in the precise place that you are in this moment. Think of the hundreds of millions of tiny particles of stardust that originated with the birth of the universe. Think of where those particles have been, and consider how they've come together in just the right way to become the you that you are today. In doing so, it becomes abundantly clear that something, some intelligent force, is holding the particles of you together right now as you hear the words of this book. And that force is what makes our beliefs so powerful. If we can communicate with that force, then we can change the way the particles of us behave in the world. We can rewrite the code of our own reality. A growing number of mainstream scientists are beginning to think the unthinkable and ask a question that sounds more like science fiction than mainstream science. They've noticed a great similarity between the way reality in our everyday world seems to work and the way we've learned to mimic reality and the everyday world as computerized simulations. The comparisons are so strong and the similarities are so great that they're asking the question that such discoveries beg to be asked. Is it possible that we're living in a universe that is really the output of a huge, an incredibly ancient computer simulation, a virtual reality that's been created inside the greater reality of another world? Wow, what a powerful new leap in our creation story. In such a way of thinking, everything takes on a whole new meaning. When we create a simulation to teach pilots about their planes or astronauts about the space shuttle, for example, the purpose of such an experience is to allow those inside the simulation to master the conditions that they find themselves in. If this is true for us in our world, then our life is giving us the opportunity to master our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions and beliefs, and our everyday world of relationships, health, abundance, and peace is the feedback that informs us of our mastery. From this perspective, what we're experiencing may not be so very different from the holodeck of the Star Trek series, for example, where possible situations could be modeled in the safety of the starship before its crew found themselves in the real deal. As speculative and science fiction-ish as such a proposition may sound, it's only one of the implications that stems directly from this powerful new way of thinking of the universe. If we take this way of thinking just one step further, we realize that if we can understand the rules of this simulation, if we can understand the rules of our virtual reality, then we can understand how to change the conditions of fear, war, and disease that have hurt us in the past. But first things first, let's go back to the whole idea of reality as a program. Just how can something as big as the entire universe be the output of a computer? While the idea itself is mind-boggling, the simplicity of what follows may surprise you.